Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Recently, I read a message that was posted on Facebook, and it got me to thinking. I want to read that message to you as it was, very brief. Life begins with one breath and ends with one breath. It's what you do between those two that makes a difference. A life given to others is a life remembered forever. And I know some people, they get into arguments about when does life begin? Does it begin at conception? Does it begin somewhere during that 9-month gestation period? Or when the child is born and takes its first breath outside the mother's womb? And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, what's one of the first things they do when a baby is born? Gets his first spanking. That's what. And some of them, like my eldest grandson here, were quite stubborn. And as the nurses said, quite macho, he refused to cry. And they swatted him several times. And I know everybody was getting a little bit nervous, you know, because he wasn't doing what they expected. But anyway, he took that gulp of air. And maybe he didn't cry like they thought they were supposed to. But anyway, well, we're not going to debate the point today as to when life begins. That's not what we're going, what this message is about. But since I'm the one speaking and I have the microphone right now, I'll tell you that I believe it begins at conception. And I think this is when the child actually begins, life begins. And during this child draws what he needs, what this new life needs from its mother while it's in the womb until it's born. And then they draw his or her very first breath. In the beginning, we're told in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now I want to read that verse to you again out of the Complete Jewish Bible. "Then Adonai God formed a person," Hebrew, Adam, "from the dust of the ground," Hebrew, Adama, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being." Now, the Hebrew word used for breath in this verse is neshama, which is translated in the King James Version 17 times as breath, 3 times as blast, 2 times as spirit, 1 time as inspiration. It comes from the root word nasam, which is a puff, wind, vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect. When God took this dust from the earth, this lump of clay, as you would, and he formed it into what would become the first living, breathing human being. He formed all that was to be formed, and then the Bible tells us he breathed into us. That inspiration of God, that breath of God was put into our body, and we became a living soul. We became a living person. We became a living being. You know, I'm just constantly amazed by the things that God's created. You realize the other day that I was reading in the news that they've discovered, and I forget how many millions of different species that live on planet Earth. And they think that really they probably only scratched the surface. They say there are species of various types of creations, fish, whatever, living in the oceans that we have never even ever seen, that God created. And then I think about the human body. To me, that's one of the most amazing things that there is this human body that God created. And you can begin to read about it, and you can begin to study about the body and all the various things it does, and some things that don't seem to do anything anymore, and things that seem to go wrong as we get older, and what causes them to do this or what causes them to do that, and how something that can be good for you can be bad for you, and all of these things. But it all is just so many things, so many intricate parts working together. And God created all of this. He set it all in motion, and He breathed that breath of life into your body. Job writes in chapter 12, verse 10, "In His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind," or as the Jewish Bible says, "in the spirit of every human being." He breathed that into us. He put that into you. It's amazing what God created. And we're all different. You know, wouldn't it be terrible if we were all wandering around just the same? I know there's some people probably would like that if we were all the same. You know, they don't like change, and they don't like this, and they don't like that. There's some people that just don't like anything, you know. But we're all different. And, you know, it's confusing sometimes. Did you ever run into somebody that looked like you? And it's kind of confusing when you look at them. They look like me. How can that be me if they look like me, you know? But we're all different. We all think differently. We all have different opinions. Aren't you glad that we have different opinions?
Sometimes.
Well, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But we have different opinions. The good thing is that most of the time, and even when we have different opinions, we can get along. Some people can't get along if you've got a different opinion than them. But we're all different. But God created this. The Bible tells us we began with that one breath that God breathed in to this man that He created. And that man, Adam, became a living soul. You know, we can talk about the different times and the different ways that words are translated, because they get translated spirit one time, breath another time, and they all seem to be interchangeable here. And we talk about this. In fact, the root word of spirit here, or breath here, is ruach, which is translated 232 times as spirit, 92 times as wind, and 27 times as breath. So the Bible is telling us here that God gives us breath of our life, and our life is held in His hands. So that accounts for our first breath, because God created us and He breathed that breath of life into us. Job goes on and writes. You know, Job writes a lot using the term breath. It's mentioned a number of times in the book of Job. Job goes on to say in chapter 17, verse 1, and he says, "My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me." Now in the complete Jewish Bible that reads, "My spirit is broken, my days are quenched, I am marked for the grave." The psalmist goes on and writes in Psalms 146:3, "Don't put your trust in princes or in mortals who cannot help." And then in verse 4 it goes on and writes, "Because when they breathe their last, they return to the dust. On that very day, all their plans are gone." We all make plans, don't we? Some of you have plans where you're going for lunch today. And Terry probably has plans that Larry's going to take her out for a nice big lunch or something for her birthday. I don't know. Tomorrow, okay. You know, but we have plans. And we think about the things that we're going to be doing. A holiday weekend is coming up in just a week. And some people have plans about what they're going to be doing on that holiday weekend and the things that they're going to do. We have plans about our future. We have plans about other things, and but you know what? With that breath that's taken away from us, all those plans come to naught. It's over with as far as our life here on earth. I got news for you. It's never really over with for you, because that spirit, that soul goes on. But as far as this human body is concerned, it's over with. It starts back to the dust from whence it came. And we can make all of these plans, but there comes the day that a person draws their last breath. So life begins with one breath, and it ends with one breath. But it's what you do in between these things that makes a difference. You know, as somebody said, I didn't ask to come into this world. None of us did. Anybody here remember asking to come into this world? No? But we're here. We were created. And I don't care if you want to get down into all the technicalities of how the human reproduction system works. God still created the whole system. Amen. We were created by God. And you are here. And we are also told that the day will come when this human flesh that we currently inhabit will end. But what we're doing in between. Some people, I don't care how wealthy they are, have miserable lives. And other people, it doesn't matter how poor they are, they have a great life. Because they are living their life to the fullest of what they have, and they are enjoying the blessings of God. You know, if you're blessed of God, you have a great life. So what do we do with this breath called life? Again, the psalmist writes in Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath? Do you have life? Then we are to be praising the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I got news for you. And Mary talks about this a lot sometimes on Sunday mornings as we're on our way into church, and it's maybe a nice summer day and not too hot. And I wish we had one of those days around here right now, not too hot. But anyway, we're on our way into church and the sun is shining and it's a nice, beautiful morning. And we're driving down the street and here's the power lines, you know, the telephone poles and the lines running, and be a whole big bunch of birds up there. And she'd say, look, the birds are having church. They're praising the Lord. I've got news for you. All God's creation can praise the Lord because we're created to praise God. We are created to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God gave you life so that he could fellowship with you. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 talks about shortly or sometime after the creation of Adam and Eve. And they had, to bring you up to point here, they had already partaken of the forbidden fruit. God had said, I have given you all this. I have planted this beautiful garden. Everything that is here is for you, with the exception of two things. They had all the blessings that this planet could offer them. All the blessings that God could offer them. And there were only two things that he said, I don't want you to do. Don't eat of the tree of life, and don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of those two trees. That's all I ask. Don't you think you could do something so simple as that? Well, you would think so, but you know, knowing people, a lot of them, if you don't want them to do something, don't tell them not to do it. I remember when our kids were growing up, and my oldest daughter, tell her not to do something, and she'd come home later and say, guess what I did today? And she'd go out and do what you told her not to do. So sometimes if you didn't want her to do something, you told her to go do it. because she knew she wouldn't do it. Well, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, they heard the voice of Adonai God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So the man and the wife hid themselves in the presence of Adonai God among the trees of the garden. Why? They had had fellowship with God. They had a relationship with God that in human flesh we have not been able to enjoy since that time. They physically, literally walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. They had fellowship with God Himself. And they knew God instilled in this body a conscience. He instilled in this body, yes, they got the knowledge of good and evil. They knew what right and wrong was. And we today, we know what right and wrong is. And if we're really halfway trying to live a decent life and we do something wrong, we know we did something wrong. And they knew they had done wrong. And they hid themselves. And that fellowship with God that they enjoyed was broken right there. That particular relationship type that they enjoyed. But you know what? God created us to have fellowship with us. He wants us to praise Him. He wants to do things for us. He wants to bless us. He didn't create us to have poverty. He didn't create us to have sickness. He didn't create us to have disease. He didn't create us to have to go through some of the problems that we go through right now, like some of the storms that are hitting the east coast of this country. He did not create us to have to endure those things. But because of sin that entered into the world, we find ourselves in that position. But God created us to have fellowship with Him, a being that could have fellowship with Him, and He could have fellowship with us. God wants the fellowship with you. You know, some people get all excited about meeting a celebrity. You know, they'll run all over themselves. And they'll babble incoherently if they meet some celebrity. Well, I met someone, you know, and they just go all goofy sometimes. I met this famous person or whatever. And you know what? We were created to have a relationship with the King of the universe. Almighty God Himself, we were created to have a relationship with. And He still wants to have a relationship with you today. And I've got news, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you have a relationship with the King of the universe. You should be rejoicing. You should be happy. You should be glad because God loves you. And you have that relationship with Him. Oh, He wants you to praise Him. He wants you to enjoy that relationship. The Bible constantly speaks of giving praise and worship to God. Again, the psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 68, verse 4, sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name, Yah, and be glad in His presence. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we are to be glad. We are to rejoice. We are to be happy. And I got news, you don't have to particularly be in church to be in the presence of the Lord. You can be in the presence of the Lord in your home. You can be in the presence of the Lord in your car. You can be in the presence of the Lord wherever you may be. And we should be rejoicing. We should be happy in the Lord. Now, I do have some other news for you. The devil don't want you to have that. He doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be miserable. He wants to take all of this from you. But if we're happy in the Lord, if we rejoice in the Lord, the devil can't take that. He can't withstand it. Because if we praise God, that puts us into that fellowship with God. We're just singing praises to him. We come into church and we sing praises to God about what God has done for us. We have testimony service sometimes and we testify of what God has done for us. And I've got news, folks. God's done some things for me that's been such a great blessing to me. He's healed my body at times. There's all kinds of things he's done for me. And I'm so thankful for God that he has. And you need to be thankful for what God has done in your life. Over the years, I've known folks in other countries that, based on what we have, compared to what they have, we're very well off. And I look sometimes and we're not as happy, but they were happy and blessed in the Lord. And they had what they had because God had blessed them, and they were satisfied. They were satisfied in the Lord because God had blessed them. God loves us so much. He cares about us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 tells us, through him, therefore, let us offer God a sacrifice of praise continually, for this is the natural product of lips that acknowledge his name. We are to offer God a sacrifice of praise. You know, sometimes as we go through life, not every day is always easy. I would not be telling you a truth if I told you that every day of your life is going to be an easy day. And there would not be days that you would not face problems, that you would not have trials. And it's on days like that that sometimes we've got to offer that sacrifice of praise. We've got to say, God, I don't care that everything is going wrong. I don't care that all the plumbing in the house broke. I don't care that my car don't start. I'm going to offer you a praise today. I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise you even though I don't feel like it, because you are God and you love me. We have to offer that sacrifice of praise sometimes. I'm thankful we're not going through right now some of the things that some of the folks on the East Coast are having to go through today. Some of the things that Christians in other parts of the world are having to go through today. Some of them sitting in prison simply because they dared to stand up and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. The Bible gives us four reasons why we as Christians, and you know, I have to tell you, sometimes I have a hard time now with this word Christian. And you say, Christian, well, that's supposed to mean you're Christ-like. And I totally agree with that. But the only thing is, there's so many people out there that call themselves Christians that are far from it, that I'm beginning to have a little problem with that word. And there are a couple of translations that don't use that word, and when they're talking about, they talk about true believers. And those of us who are true believers, who have Jesus Christ residing in our heart, who've accepted what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, that's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who call themselves Christians because mama or daddy were Christians or grandma or grandpa were Christians. I'm talking about people who are born again, who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And there are four reasons given why we are to praise God. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You are a called out people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So you are to praise God because you are a chosen generation. You are to praise God because you are a part of a royal priesthood. You are to praise God because you are a holy nation. You are to praise God because you are a peculiar, a separated out people. We should be praising God constantly within our hearts, within our lives. Doesn't mean that you have to walk down the street with your hands up in the air all the time saying, praise God. Doesn't mean that, because that praise is to come from the heart, and you are to be giving God praise within our heart continually. We don't have to necessarily verbalize it as we're going down the street. And there's some places, you know, that we can't do that. But that praise should always be in our heart. And we should be able to look around. And as I drive down the streets of Nashville, sometimes I see things that are happening and things that are going on. And I thank God and I give God praise for what he's done for me. And sometimes when I'm feeling a little sorry for myself. Anybody ever feel sorry for yourself? Am I the only one? I think we all do at one time or another. We feel sorry for ourselves. And I'll have to be honest, there are times I get really frustrated. I go to do something, and because of the problem I have with my right hand, and I can't do it, and I get frustrated. You know, I drop stuff or what. And sometimes I really kind of, you know, you get frustrated with it. And I'm driving down the street in Nashville the other day, and there's a guy walking down the street. Appears, best I could tell, probably a homeless person. And he don't have a right hand. And I thank God. God, I still got a hand. There's still things I can do with it. Maybe I can't use it the way it was supposed to be, but I've still got one. And I can still do some things with it. I thank you, God, that I still got a hand. And I'm not like that person who doesn't have one. I'm sorry? And I pray for that person. That's right. God, do something for them. You know? But we are as a child of God to praise God. The Apostle Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 26. The God who made the universe and everything in it, and who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in man-made temples. Doesn't live in man-made buildings. Have you ever looked at some of the buildings, some of the churches and cathedrals throughout the world? Some of them are gorgeous. And we were just looking the other day when they had the earthquake in Virginia, and the National Cathedral, well, the spires were broken and some other damage that was done to it. That's a man-made temple. He doesn't dwell in man-made temples. When we are not here, this building is a building. That's all it is. God doesn't dwell in it when we're not here. It's just a building. It's a building with four walls, a roof, and a floor. God dwells in this building when we're here. When we are here, because he dwells in us. We are why God's presence is here. Nor is he served by human hands, as if he lacked something. Since it is he himself who gives life and breath and everything to everyone. We have what we have, not because of who we are, but because of God who gives us life, who gives us breath, who gives us everything that we have. From one man, he made every nation living on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the limits of their territories and the periods when they would flourish. We are here because of the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. Think about that. I know when you realize that you exist because of God, you might be a little bit happier, because you know that there is a God, there's a God. You know, some of the most miserable people on earth are really the ones that don't believe in God, because there is no hope in their life. It's all going to end someday, and there will be no more. That's it. There was a song that I heard sang many years ago, and as I was trying to find the words for it last night, I found that it was recorded by a number of different people, and with one of the recordings that was done by Bill Gaither of it, I was able to find the words. It was written by a gentleman I knew many years ago, Bud Chambers, and it's called "I Was Born to Serve the Lord." I don't want to read the words to that song for you. Not heard it in a long time, but it's got some very important words here. He says, "From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. And God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that is why I love him so." Verse 2 goes on, "My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in his footsteps. My body is a temple of the Lord." Your body is the temple of the Lord. The chorus reads, "I was made in his likeness, created in his image, for I was born to serve the Lord. I will not deny him. I will always walk beside him, for I was born to love the Lord." Why were you given breath? Why were you given life? For one purpose: to serve the Lord. We were created to serve the Lord. And in doing so, it's not that you were born. It's not that someday this body will return to the dust. It's what we do with the in-between there, and it's the serving the Lord. How do we serve the Lord? Do we serve him with all of our heart, or do we half-heartedly serve him, or if we struggle to just barely make it in? I've heard some folks say, "Well, I, you know, as long as I can get to heaven by the skin of my teeth." I don't want to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I want to get to heaven as everything in it. I want to put everything in it to get to heaven. I want to make that my goal, my dream, my everything is the purpose of getting to heaven, a place where I can serve God then in his presence and in his midst. That's what my life is about. It's to serve God. And if you're listening to me today and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is why you were created, to serve God. And he sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, that the sins that you were born into could be washed away, that the sins you have committed could be forgiven, washed away by the blood of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary. Because you were created, your purpose in life was to be to serve the Lord. It was not to be a drug addict. It was not to be a killer. It was not to be an adulterer. It was not to be any of these great things of sin that people commit. It was to be none of those things. It was to be to serve the Lord. And Satan has come into the hearts of many, led them astray, and led them into everything but serving God. But my friend, today, if you're not serving God, whether you've committed some of these sins or not, you can still accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You can ask him into your life, and you can become a Christian. You can become saved by the blood of the Lamb, and you can start serving God with all your heart, and you can have that fellowship with God. And Father, today, as we close this message, Father, I pray that there are those who may be listening to this message today, wherever they may be, here on planet Earth, Father, speak to hearts through the Holy Spirit. Father, this message is for someone today. Father, it may be for a multitude of people. I don't know who all it's for. But Father, let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to hearts as they listen to this message today. And I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.